welcome to Feminist Mormon Housewives. I am your host, Cammie, and we are continuing our Now series, Narrating Ordained Women. And I have with me today, Danielle Mooney. Danielle, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I would love to. I'm so excited to talk to you. So I live in Boston with my husband and our very cute puppy. I have lived here for almost 8 years. I moved out here from Minnesota, where I grew up, to attend Wellesley College and met my husband, and have been here ever since, both starting and then eventually graduating from Wellesley. We are expecting our first baby in August. And yeah, very excited.
Is it a boy or girl?
It's a girl.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And this fall, I will start the application process for graduate school. I'd like to be a nurse midwife.
Oh, that's awesome. So is your degree in nursing?
No. So I'll do a bridge, what's known as a bridge program. So for non-nursing degrees, I, in fact, have a very liberal artsy degree that is of no practical use. It's French cultural studies.
Ah.
So it's like half French language and half colonial issues.
Oh my goodness.
In particular.
So, wow. That,
yes.
That is a bridge from that to... That's wonderful. And what breed of puppy do you have?
She is a pit bull mix.
Oh.
She's a rescue, so we're not sure, but we think she's a pit and German short hair pointer mix.
Oh. Yeah, they're really good with children. I have
a lot
of friends.
She is nuts for little kids. She is a little too excited because she's still a puppy. She gets a little eager to sniff and lick at them, but she, every little small child we see on the street, she thinks is just a friend, like waiting to be made. So
we only had dogs for the first 7 years, the first four when I was married. I was going to school, and then the next three, I was unable to get pregnant for a while. So but our daughter's growing up with dogs as siblings, so it's a lot of fun.
yeah, we're excited. We both grew up with dogs, so.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, well, Danielle, tell us when and why you posted your profile on Ordained Women.
Sure. So I posted my profile as part of the first 19 profiles that went up when the site went live.
Wow.
I had been surreptitiously contacted by some other Mormon feminists who were working with ordained women and were trying to gently feel out people who might be interested in posting profiles. And I think that I had made clear in some other conversations my support for women's ordination. And so I was asked if I would submit a profile, and I said, absolutely. And I asked if there was anything else I could help with. So I ended up contacting a couple more Mormon women that I knew who I thought would post profiles as well in that first batch. And then also later joined the planning committee to help just with all the background stuff that goes into running a little advocacy group.
A little. You've been really involved since the get-go then.
Yeah, I have. It's been really fantastic, and it was such a wonderful opportunity to connect with a lot of women who I'd known tangentially, but who I've gotten to know much better since. And that's been really amazing. Actually, funnily enough, I just remembered that I actually met Kate Kelly at Exponent Retreat, the September before the website launched in March. And during a conversation between her and me and one or two other women, she mentioned that she really liked in-person gatherings and that she was really interested in talking about making a plan to advocate for women's ordination. And I loved that idea, but I didn't say anything because I felt like, I was like, oh, she's so cool. I don't really have any like particular skills or anything to offer. And I just felt a little like, it was also my first time at Exponent Retreat. And so there are all of these really awesome women who I had known of. And I was just so intimidated in general, I think. And but yeah, so I actually, I guess, heard about ordained women really, really early on.
But, yeah. Yes.
Actually, yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Well, you've proven yourself wrong, that you have a lot to contribute. That's funny that that you thought that, because obviously you have a lot to contribute because you're involved so much.
Yeah, I think we all especially with things that mean a lot to us, we tend to undersell.
Yeah.
To ourselves, our ability to contribute, and really, you know, like we have, as part of Ordained Women, we have volunteers and stuff and helping us with all kinds of things, little to, you know, in terms of just like posting positive thoughts on the Facebook page to bigger planning tasks and putting together materials and working on, you know, committees. And so, you know, really, if anyone is listening and felt or feels how I felt, that they are interested in helping but aren't sure what they could do, let us know, because we definitely have things that you could do, and all talents are welcome. If you know, if you let us know what you're good at, we will find something for you to do.
That's very true. It's just like being in church, huh?
It is exactly like being in church. Because everyone involved has jobs and school and families. And so, you know, there's only so much time that any one person can devote to the work of running Ordained Women. And so we not only like having help and input, because the more ideas that are on the table, the more chance that there's a good idea on the table.
Right.
Also, it's just necessary for our ability to just like day to day keep up with website stuff, posting profiles, social media. We just had some volunteers, for example, who really enjoy Pinterest, note that we, Ordained Women, has not been doing very much at all with our Pinterest account.
Oh. And
they, you know, those who understand Pinterest really well as a social media sight and who wanted to see ordained women do more with it. We were like, yes, please. And so they put together some thoughts and some strategies for how to use Pinterest more effectively. And so, and that was just, you know, a couple, like last week or a week and a half ago or so, that I think they did a call and conference call and figured out, you know, a plan for that. So really, like, there's a wide variety of tasks and ideas and stuff that we love to get from everyone who is interested in contributing.
Right. Okay. Well, let me ask you, since you've been so involved in this in the beginning, I'm curious to know, how has your profile been received, either publicly or within your inner circle?
Sure. Well, publicly, that happens mostly via the internet. And so that has, I think, due to the nature of the kind of communications that the internet can tend to facilitate, has been rather rough. People are, I think, scared of the idea. They're derisive of the idea. And there are people who will not shy away from telling you that online. And so some private messages and stuff that I've received have been unkind, to say the least. On my own Facebook page, I've had some pushback from people that I've gone to church with in the past or present. Nothing really particularly negative on my own Facebook wall. Some passive, aggressive posts from some extended family members on their own pages.
Yeah.
But fortunately for me, that's mostly been from family that I'm not close to. And so in my immediate family, the reactions have been really great. My mom is a convert, and so her side of the family, I think my grandparents, my grandma, grandpa, just think it's really neat that I am speaking out about something that means a lot to me.
Wow.
And my mom, she doesn't see ordination as something that she needs or desires right now, but she's been incredibly supportive and kind about the fact that I do see it as something that I need and desire for the church and for myself. And she has been quick to defend me and ordained women when people in her life, or just even sometimes online, she confessed to me that sometimes online, if she sees somebody like on our page say something really mean, she'll send them a private message telling them to be nice.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Such a mom thing to do.
Good.
But yeah, so that's been great. And my siblings vary in their, I have three siblings, and they vary in their activity level and involvement with the church. But they have all been interested, and my sister, who's just younger than me, has expressed that she's proud of me, which I really appreciated. She isn't active. And my two younger siblings have asked, you know, questions and have been also fairly kind. My in-laws have not brought it up with me, but they have with my husband, who also has a profile up. And those conversations have so far also gone well. They've expressed concern for our testimonies, but Jared was able to let them know that they didn't need to be concerned, and that we were open to answering questions if they had them, and that we were willing to have conversations about this, as you know, as they had, you know, concerns or thoughts or questions or wanted more information about why we feel the way we do. So I've been incredibly lucky in that sense. I've had just really positive reactions in my immediate circles from friends and family who, even Mormon friends and family, who, when they don't necessarily agree or see it as something that they desire for themselves, are willing to hear why I do, or
listen to you and
or express their own opinion as well to me, but you know, in a kind way, in a way that isn't about necessarily proving me wrong so much as sharing with one another. You know?
Right. I do. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. What do you see? I mean, you've been at the very beginning of this. So what kind of vision do you have? And yours might be a very unique one with being some of the first people involved with ordained women. What kind of vision do you have for ordination of women and ordained women?
Well, obviously I would love to see women ordained. I think that excluding women from the, not only the governance structure, but also from what is in and of itself a great spiritual gift, does our broader church community a disservice, and does women specifically a disservice. I think that God wants us all to be digging into the work of the kingdom, and to use, you know, Elder Anderson last October used a metaphor about opening the drapes to let the light in. And it was men's calling to open the drapes, but the light was for everyone. And I just couldn't and cannot help but think that I believe in a God that's bigger than that. I believe in a God that is not so interested in who is opening the drapes, but that everyone is getting the light. As many people as possible are getting the light. And I think that it's not just about opening the drapes. We're actually all going to need to completely tear down the structure that we're living in now and build up a new mansion. Build up a Zion that is beyond our narrow comprehensions. We're going to do it, you know, we need to do it with God, and God has a bigger plan for us than we can see for ourselves. And it involves a lot more work than opening the drapes, and God wants a lot more people to be getting the light than are right now. So my hope for Ordained Women as an organization is that continue to foster conversation in the LDS community. I think that as time goes on, more and more people will come to feel the way that we feel. It's a relatively new idea for Mormons to consider. And it's certainly new that these conversations are happening on such a widespread basis. And so that in and of itself is, I think, progress. We can't get to the building of Zion if we're not talking about the ways in which all of us feel a little left out of Zion. For a range of reasons. And it's not just women.
Right.
And it's not just about priesthood, but there are a lot of ways that we can make our community more inclusive. But when the better we get at having those conversations publicly and out loud with one another, the healthier we'll be and the better able to make progress on being inclusive of those who might typically be marginalized. I would like to see more and more women feel and men feel brave enough to contribute profiles and to join us in in-person actions. We still, from time to time, maybe once or so a week, get a message from someone who would love to post a profile, but doesn't feel safe enough to do that in their current community. That makes me really sad.
Yeah.
And so these kinds of things, this ability to have these conversations and to put our ideas out there, make us a stronger community, a stronger church. And so that's what I hope Ordained Women really helps us, the LDS church and community accomplish. I mean, in addition to the obvious goal, stated goal of seeing women ordained, I hope that Ordained Women continues to be able to help the church become stronger, because we are the church, we love the church, and we want it to be as good as it can be. And so that's... Yeah.
Thank you. I like that vision too, Danielle. I appreciate that. And if anyone's interested in looking at your profile, we'll put a link up to your profile on Ordained Women. Thank you so much, Danielle, for sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for hosting this podcast. I'm just really excited to hear everyone's stories about how and why they kind of decided to post their profiles. What about women's ordination feels like a call to them? And I loved the first episode that you hosted with both of you who were on that, in that, you know, these conversations will hopefully help foster the kind of love and understanding that we need as a community.
Yeah, that's our goal. That's our goal.